You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
Hand me the lock.
And now back in making his third appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Houston Oilers Pro Bowl defensive back Chris Dishman. Let me remind you about Chris's background. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. He attended Purdue University, where he was a dual sport athlete, an all Big Ten defensive back and a member of their track team. Graduated with his degree in criminal justice. He was a fifth round draft pick by the Houston Oilers in 1988, and he played in the league from 88 to 2000 for the Oilers, Redskins, Chiefs, and Vikings. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in 1991 and 1997. Over the course of his playing career, he had 739 tackles, 43 interceptions. He forced 15 fumbles. He recovered 16 of them, and he scored 6 touchdowns. And we are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris, Bob, thanks for having me. Man, Nick's been on there 11 times. Oh, wow, that's awesome. That is totally awesome. But he is the all-time. You guys got to send him a plaque with his foot on it just to be the all-time in the show. I just hope I can get up about 12 times.
Ah, we hope you do, too. We're already looking forward to the opportunity to make you do that. But thanks for being here again today, Chris. And want to start our time with you by going back to your days at Purdue. And as I was looking back over, you know, the games that you had an opportunity to play in 84, you guys opened that season upsetting number 7, Notre Dame. And a few weeks later, you beat number 2, Ohio State. And then a few weeks after that, you beat Michigan. It was the first time in Purdue history that a team beat all three of those teams in the same season. So curious from you, what was the celebration like after you guys completed that sweep?
It really, say the truth, guys, we expected it. We had such a talented team. Coach Burnett and his staff put such recruiting class back-to-back, and our team was so talented. We had so much talent on that team. It was crazy. So even though it was always the first time, we thought, like, well, we never played these teams before, so it's our first time, so might as well be the first. So we were just very talented. We wasn't cocky, but we were just very confident in our ability of what we could do. You know, you have Rod Woodson he played running back, he played receiver, he played defensive back, punt returner, kickoff returner. You know, he played any position on the field. Then we had Steve Griffin, and we had Jim Everett. As a quarterback, and Rodney Thomas there, so as one of our running backs. So we had such a talented team there that we couldn't go wrong of winning the game. You know, Coach Burnett, like I said, Coach Burnett, Leon Burnett did a great job of recruiting all of us, getting us all to come there.
And Chris, thinking about, you know, all the great athletes that you had on those Purdue teams and the success that you guys had, is there a game you look back on as sort of a signature game for you that, as you think back across your career, boy, it still brings a smile to your face when you think about it?
Well, when I played against Andre Rison there at Michigan State, I think about that individually, even though we lost the game, I think about 10 points. Individually, I had a great game against Andre Rison. He's supposed to be one of the premier receivers at that time in the Big Ten. And I thought that, okay, then, because I really wasn't sure of where football was going to take me. I just loved playing the game. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to go pro. I just loved playing the game of football. So no matter if it took me into the west end of Louisville or took me to DeSales High School or took me to Purdue, I was just going to go play football somewhere, and that's what I love doing. I didn't know if it was going to take me any further, but like I said, I think that game right there kind of stood out, and that game right there made me realize that, hey, I possibly can go a little bit farther if I want to.
And to that end, Chris, Purdue, I got to imagine you had several schools knocking on your door because, again, as a two-sport athlete, you know, a guy who was so great in track as well. Who were the other schools vying for your attention, and how was Purdue able to be the one to lure you there?
Well, it was playing. I always wanted to play in the Big Ten, so that was the only schools I was really looking at. I was a Big Ten guy. And my dad went to Indiana, and I think Lee Corso was got fired just before I was be able to come there, so I ruled that school out. And it was either going to be either between Indiana, Purdue, and Michigan. And Michigan was kind of far from Louisville, so we had an old clunker in Impala, and I knew that Impala couldn't make it all the way up to Michigan, so I chose Purdue because it was closer to for my mom and dad come and see me play.
Bob, questions for Chris?
Yeah, welcome back, Chris. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I want to take you back to your rookie year in Houston. You know, we talked last time about Glanville and your relationship with him. Also on that staff, I saw it was Nick Saban as the secondary coach your first few years in the league. How instrumental was he in the development of your game, Chris, and what was your relationship like with him?
Oh, Coach Saban was a foundation-based coach. He taught me a lot in some of the drills that I still do today as a coach. I got a few Coach Saban because I believe in him, and he helps out defensive backs a lot. You know, he's a foundation guy. He knows what he's talking about, and probably today he's probably still coaching defensive backs. So I was very fortunate to come as a young corner underneath him and learned a lot from him with those 2 years because, like I said, he's very strong-minded. He believes in what he teach. He was I can't say hard. He was hard but fair. He wasn't a guy that was unfair to me. He was very hard on me because he saw potential in me. And that's what I loved about Nick, that he was always honest and open. And that's the part that a lot of players sometimes get confused, that he's been hard on them. He's not been hard on them. He's been open and he's been honest. And as a player, you can appreciate that.
Just used to love watching the old Houston Oilers teams back then, Chris. It was fun, even on the defensive side, like guys like Childress and Sean Jones. It was just a bunch of good guys to watch. Outside of those kind of guys, who were some of the other people that eased your transition into the league and helped you become a true pro?
Well, Mike Rozier was there, helped me out a lot there in Houston. Ray Wallace, who was at Purdue with me, was a fullback running back there at Purdue, and he got drafted at the Oilers the year before, so he helped my transition easily. And also Doug Smith, number 99, used to play for us. Doug was a guy that, you know, he demanded the double team, and it freed up William Fuller and Sean Jones and Ray Childress. He was the guy that always had to get the double, sometimes triple team, and those guys get the sacks and the glory, and he'd get all the mud work. So a guy like Doug, I always... He used to tell me, you know, keep my nose straight, keep myself together, you know, care about the game. And, you know, with a guy like Mike Rozier, he made, and Alonzo Highsmith also, those guys really took me underneath their wing and made me do the right thing by always checking on me and always making sure I'm up in time for practice and stuff like that. So I really, those guys, throughout the year of helping me come from, be able to play those 13 years in the league because of the work habits. You know, Alonzo Highsmith, he's always calling at 4:30. Hey, man, let's go work out. Like, it's early. He said, yeah, let's go. Come on, let's go work out. And next thing I know, he's at my door. We're running Tom William Hill there in Houston, you know, at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and then out on the field at 12 noon, and then back again and lifting weights at night. So hanging around people like that, I think, really helped my career. Move further than what it could have been because I'm a try hard, work hard guy. And every year until the off season, I used to go out to Ron Shetfield, who used to be the strength and the track coach there at San Diego State. I used to go there every year and train with him. Ronnie Harmon and Martin Bayless introduced me to him, and I went there every year and trained, and I just kept my body in shape.
Chris, you came into the league as a fifth-round draft pick, and now you're trying to make a name for yourself at training camp with the Houston Oilers, looking at guys like Warren Moon and Drew Hill, Ernest Givens, Haywood Jeffries early in his career also, you know, during those times, and all those guys on the opposite line of scrimmage. Talk about what did you do that allowed you to stick out and get the attention of the coaching staff and ultimately make the team?
Well, I was very brash at the time. I didn't, and I used to say what's on my mind without thinking about anything. And I was very feisty, and I never cared who I was going up against or how many Pro Bowls you went to or how many Pro Bowls you didn't go to or who you supposed to be. I just had so much confidence in my ability. I felt like I could shut down anyone and everyone. And I went against all the top-notch receivers there at camp. And, you know, I was just felt like, that, hey, I can do it. If you can do it, I can do it better. And that's all always been. And I wasn't trying to be a cocky individual. I was very confident in my ability, my God-given ability, because God gave me this ability to use. He didn't give me this ability to not to showcase it or to hide it inside.
And Chris, you were the defensive coordinator earlier this year in the Collegiate Bowl. Talk about your experience there and being the D coordinator.
Oh, that was great. I had a great time. You know, like I said, I coordinated there at Menlo College before, but actually trying to get coordinate within 2 weeks and play a game, that was a great experience. And my buddy Daryl Green for having me as a coordinator, even though we didn't win the game, it was a great experience for me to get a playbook together in a week, get it going, get it organized, and get it on the field and make sure the players get it, because that is a coordinator. You got to make sure the position coach get it and the players get it. When you're a position coach, you just worry about your group. But as a coordinator, you got to worry about all the groups and make sure everything is tied in together. And like I said, I had a great time of doing it. It was a great experience for me. And that's something I want to continue on, is trying to be a coordinator. You know, I've coached in the NFL. I've coached Division One. I've coached Division Three. I've coached NFL Europe. And now I'm coaching in Canadian football, which is a blast, you know.
And speaking of Daryl Green, Chris, you got a camp coming up next month up there in Toronto with Hall of Famers. You mentioned Rod Woodson earlier. You got Daryl Green, Warren Moon, Mike Singletary, Andre Reed, plus Damon Allen and Mike Rozier as well. All these guys coming together at a wonderful camp. Talk about your football camp that you've got coming up in August.
Well, yeah, that's something we're trying to transition. We call it a GOAT Skills Camp. Last year we had a GOAT DB camp there in Houston with Rod Woodson and Bill Green and Deion Sanders and I. And this year, we're supposed to be having our camp there, and we ended up having a camp there this year because of the Hurricane Harvey situation. And, you know, we just felt like it was best to bring a camp for us this year. And we're going to, next year, going to bring back all skills camp there in Houston. And that's what we transitioned to. Instead of doing a specialty camp, we're going to all skills camp. You know, receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, versus the corner safeties and linebackers. So that's what, and Toronto is going to be the first inaugural. We're going to see how that work out. You know, you have a lot of guys out there who love coaching, who is passionate about their position they play. Like a guy like a Warren Moon, who's passionate about quarterbacks, a guy like a Mike Rozier, who's passionate about running back. You know, a guy like Daryl Green or Rod Woodson, who's have the knowledge and trying to give it to the youth of the day, so therefore they can pass it on to the youth behind them. And that's what I love about the guys that I have there, that all of them want to be a coach. And as coaches, we also got to be great teachers. And as a great teacher, you got to make sure your student is able to pass the test, and you got to give him the material he needs to pass the test.
So, Chris, how can folks up in the Toronto area get more information about the camp and get themselves signed up?
GoatSkillsCamp.com is probably the best way to go on and get signed up, and you can find out a lot of information from that. Stay tuned for that, because we're going to next year in Houston and in Florida and also Atlanta, I believe. I'm not really sure on that one. We're going to have a GOAT Skills Camp, and we're going to do it bigger and better than what we did have been doing. So you're going to be surprised with the names. I don't want to spoil it right now, because we have a big sponsor who's going to be backing us, and they're going to bring in some big name players, and it's going to be huge. And I think as youth as of youth today, that they will get a lot out of it. Now, this is not going to be a T-shirt camp where you get a T-shirt and a pair of shorts, and the guys come and speak, and they off 15, 20 minutes later. These guys are going to actually coach, teach, and talk to you about what they did as a player and how to do it better. So that's what I always wanted, guys who can teach the game of football, not just talk the game of football, because there's a huge difference.
Chris, how can our listeners stay up to date with what you're doing, whether it's online or it's over social media? How can they follow you?
Dishman_Chris is my Twitter, and then you go out Skills Camp. You know, you can follow me online that way. So that's where, and ChrisDishman.com. And, you know, those are three of my websites and three of my social media sites that you can actually just keep abreast of what's going to happen throughout the year. So, like I said, I really appreciate you guys for having me on again this my third time. So, I got a lot to catch up with Nick, though. I don't know if I can catch up with Nick this short of a time. So, if Nick, you still listen, you are the all-star of the all-stars.
We'll get you up there.
Yeah, we got to get you up there, Chris. So hopefully we get the privilege of having you back on the show again real soon, maybe more, you know, closely before or after your camp, and get some updates on that and the new announcement that you've got. Hopefully we'll have you back, and you can be able to do that here on the show. But we appreciate your time, and thank you so much for being here with us again tonight.
You stay well.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Much love to you.
All right. Take care, Chris. That is former Houston Oilers Pro Bowl defensive back Chris Dishman. Bob, and you look at the talent that he's already got in his camp currently, and now it's going to get bigger and better. Man, that's hard to imagine, but good for him.
With the kind of experience he had on the field, Chris, I know he can teach and do well at what he does. And again, a Pro Bowler who was, I just love watching him. The old Oilers teams, something about them were fun. Maybe it was the darkness of the Astrodome, right, Chris? It was kind of crazy to watch him, but he was a great player.